If you have your Bibles, we are going to be in Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to be in verses 11 through 18. So we're going to be at the very end of this powerful letter that Paul has written to a network of churches in, I guess if you would think of it today, modern day, like Turkey and that area in Galatia, to the Galatian churches. And this has been a powerful letter, just full of challenges and contrasting essentially a salvation of works of our own doing versus the truth, which is the salvation of Jesus' works and what he has done for all of us. And so Paul is going to put a period at the end of this sentence for all of us this morning. Okay, so let's go ahead and read Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. Paul says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to become circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen."
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray, and then we'll get to work. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for this worship service that we have here at The Way. Lord, we thank you that our children can learn this lesson on their level in the back. We thank you that we can worship you openly and freely. Yes. Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ and congregations all over that are joining with us in one spirit, one voice, honoring you today. And so, Lord, bless those congregations. Bless what we're doing here this morning. Lord, this is all for your glory, and we thank you that we can sing your praises and look at your word and fellowship together. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing at The Way. We thank you for chapter 1, chapter 2. We thank you for chapter 3 that is right around the corner. So, Lord, even in that announcement coming up, Lord, just be glorified with everything that we do. If you're not glorified, we don't want to do anything, Lord. It's all for you. So we thank you. We honor you. Teach us from your word. Send your spirit to give us the mind of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, so the subtitle of our lesson today is Boasting in Christ. And what we're going to see here, as we navigate through this last part of the letter, we can really boast in one of two things. We can boast in Jesus and his perfect finished work for us. Or we can boast in, and it's just kind of a category of anything else, your works, the rules, this, that, the world, whatever. We can boast in one of two things. And of course, we're going to be encouraged to boast in Christ, to boast in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and really nothing else.
Amen.
Galatians 6, 11 and 12. "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." In ancient times, especially somebody that would be, you know, in the situation that Paul is in, somebody that, in different circumstances, whether he be on house arrest, in prison, or whatever, it was common to have someone kind of dictate what you're saying. So you're saying it. He's probably praying and making sure that he's really hearing from God, because he, many times in Paul's letters, he acknowledges this is the word of God that I am giving to you through a prophetic gift, and someone would be writing it down as he's saying it. Okay, and then he would send that person a lot of times with that letter. Maybe he'd have a couple of copies just to make sure it was safe. And they would circulate these letters to the churches in that area very often. And what Paul does on a couple of occasions is you can just see he takes the pen and he says, I don't want this dictated. I want to write this with my own hand. Paul was very intelligent, very capable of doing such a thing. And when you love the people that you're serving, when you love the people that you're leading, sometimes it just needs that personal touch. And you can imagine as this was being probably dictated and he's speaking and probably rereading to make sure that it was exactly the way he felt it should be. He says, let me take that pen and look how big I'm writing to you guys.
Wow.
Now, there's some in-house discussion on why Paul does that. Is it part of the medical problems that he had that he mentioned earlier in this letter? Maybe he was having vision problems and he had to write nice and big because, you know, maybe he just did that so he could read it himself. Maybe he did that to emphasize, like, you guys are acting like children. You're acting like flesh balls. You're acting like, you know, like kindergarten. Let's go back to kindergarten. Let's get up on the whiteboard and let's go to the ABCs. Like, remember from Genesis through, you know, the entire written word at that point. You can't save yourself.
Yeah. It's true.
And be careful. Make sure you have a good relationship with somebody before you do that, because that may not go good. But when you love someone, you know how it is.
Yeah.
We should be developing relationships with one another where we can lovingly look somebody in the eye and say, you're missing the big E on the eye chart. You ever go to the eye doctor?
Yeah.
And you can't even get the first letter? That's the first sign that you need glasses.
Yeah.
And some people believe that Paul, his heart is so broken for these people. He's calling them brothers. He's assuming the best of them. He wants to believe because he can't look into their heart. He doesn't know who's being tempted by the enemy through these Judaizers, through this false teaching, who's just having a bad moment, who has maybe never actually been saved and they're flirting with spiritual catastrophe, and he's writing it real big just for emphasis. Listen to me. You cannot save yourself.
That's right.
As we navigate through these last few verses, I want to say, I say this all the time, I am way more worried about someone that thinks they can save themselves than almost anything that they're telling me that they're struggling with.
Yeah.
If you're struggling with sin, welcome to the club. Christians are not people that don't sin. They are people that are at war with sin. And they start by acknowledging, I can't save myself. Now, that's not a license to leave here and live like the devil and live like, it's not a license for you to let yourself off the hook.
No.
But we want to be like David, the great king, the great prophet, David, the great ancestor of the Lord Jesus. My sin is always before me. And while I know that I struggle with these sins, I know that my God is greater than my sin. His grace is greater than all of my shortcomings. His grace is able to save me. So it's not an either or, it's a both and. I am a great sinner, but God is a great Savior.
Amen. Woo.
Yes, yes, yes.
So Paul writes in these big letters. We don't know exactly why, but we just know that he wrote it in there for some reason. And he's telling them, I believe, maybe a combination of everything. And he's warning them. He's warning them, see with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. I took the pen away. I need you to know this is coming straight from Pastor Paul. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Paul is telling them that the gospel of works leads to the glory of man.
Mm-hmm.
the gospel of you saving yourself, which is, again, what the Judaizers were doing. Much of, when you read in your Bible, much of the persecution, much of the hardships were coming from people that believed in order to become Christians, you had to become a Jew first. So you get circumcised, you do all of these things. And what Paul says here to them, and that was their particular false gospel. But this stands for, in contrast with every false gospel, that you are not in the equation, and these people, they just want to make a good showing in the flesh. Look how many more Jews we got. We got these Christians to become Jews. Yeah, they're Christians too, but who cares? They were boasting in the flesh. They were boasting in their biology. They were boasting that we got one more on our team. And that's not what it's about. In a similar kind of a way, we're not here to try to get people to become, reformers or Methodists or Pentecostals or any strange animal in between. We're here for them to come to Christ. And if you have differences in some minor things, and we got, even in this smaller group, I mean, there is a diversity in secondary things, and that's okay, but we're not trying to grow the Southern Baptist Convention or the Christian Missionary Alliance or any, again, we hope all of them grow. If we're going to see this planet reached for Christ, we're going to need all of these church buildings up and running, doctrinally sound and loving to their community. We're going to need everybody. Can't fit everybody in this room.
Nope.
Can't fit everybody even in the biggest church in this city.
Yeah.
It's true.
I had people, when we announced we were starting this church, I got some what I call hate email. Don't you know we have 24 churches in Wadsworth already? And can you tell me one thing that's different? And I did. I said, well, thank you. Here are some things that, to my knowledge, is not happening in this community, but I could be wrong. I don't know. But I did say, even if we were all singing the same song, we have differences, and that's okay. But if we were all singing the same song and faithful to the Word of God, and I hope that's happening everywhere. When I pray for churches, I just pray for that. I don't want anything bad for anybody. I want us all, every one of us, just to be on mission, gospel. And I said, if everyone woke up today and said, let's go to church, we don't have enough building space in Wadsworth to accommodate everybody here. This isn't even that big of a place. All that to say, we're not here to add numbers just to the Way Church or to a certain denomination. We boast in Christ.
Amen.
And Paul says here that they are only persecuting you and giving you this false teaching so that they can make a good showing in the flesh. It's not spiritual. It's not for the right reasons. They want to look good to other people. They want to look good to other people. And false teaching always goes along with that, by the way. It's not about the spirit. It's about money. It's about the flesh. It's about ego. It's about everything other than what God is interested in. He says they want to make a good showing in the flesh. And who would force you to be circumcised only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. When we look in modern times, it's not so different today. There are, believe me, there are many shortcuts into church growth. There are many shortcuts to get a church off the ground. I'm so happy with what we have going on at the Way. And there's much work to do, and none of it's perfect, but I am very happy. And listen, in modern times, and by the way, I think this is kind of the forecast for the future. I hope you all know that just because a certain election went a certain way, just because we got somebody that is into saying Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays, that is not going to turn this ship around.
Amen.
Spiritually in
Amen.
The U.S.
Yes, hallelujah.
And we can go down to a lot of rabbit holes there, but there are shortcuts into growing things bigger, and part of that is to look good in the flesh, to talk about everything that is not highlighted in God's Word, to focus on people instead of God, to give self-help speeches, and talk about ourselves instead of God, and to avoid persecution. Okay, that's not unlike how modern times are. Okay, it's easy to promote a seeker-friendly message. And we're not here to purposely be hard. We teach whatever the text says.
Right.
But it's just interesting that what happened almost 2,000 years ago is not so different from today.
Amen.
If you want people to speak well of you, just talk about everything that God does not really emphasize. This is a big book. You could teach this for a whole entire career and never get to the point that we are great sinners,
yeah,
and Jesus Christ is the only Savior.
Praise Thank
Lord.
You, Jesus. Yes, amen.
And we could talk about all kinds of things, and we don't really have persecution in the U.S. yet, but the hill that we'll probably have to die on, unless we course correct immediately, is, I think it'll be similar to what our brothers and sisters deal with over in a place called China. You can be a Christian in China. Don't misunderstand that. You can be a Christian all you want, as long as you abide by what the state tells you you can teach and do. And, of course, there's no evangelism. And the underground church in China today has somewhere around 500 million real Christians.
Oh, wow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Not the state sanctioned church. I'm talking about the biblical church.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And if we want to avoid that and let all men speak well of us, again, we just give a lighthearted, seeker-friendly, non-offensive message. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Beware when all men speak well of you.
Yes.
You see, we could not deliver this message any more loving than Jesus, and they killed him.
It's true.
And they persecuted him, and they called him names. And listen, I hope none of that happens. I don't know the future any more than anybody else. But we need to be willing to say, listen, we're going to stand behind the cross of Christ. We're going to teach what Jesus has in his word for us to know. We're going to be true to what his word says. And it does not matter who speaks well of us, or if we get flack from people, or if people label us a certain thing or a certain way. We don't want those things, but that is a sure way to sidestep the truth, sidestep the gospel, and let everybody just speak well of you. Okay? Jesus was not that way. And that, as individuals, is our example. We have the truth. We have a mandate from God to deliver the truth as individuals, as a church. We are ambassadors with no authority to alter what God's word says.
Yes.
So how did Jesus do it? Because no one was more loving than him. We speak the truth of the gospel with gentleness. We said that last week, gentleness. We never want to come across like, hey, you sinner, let me tell you how to be more like me. Let me tell you the steps that I took so that you can live a life the way I'm living it. No, what we should do is this. We should get down like this and say, I'm a beggar too.
Amen.
I am a beggar too.
Yes, hallelujah.
But I found the bread. It's not my bread. It's not mine. I didn't make it. I didn't buy it. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. It's not... I'm a beggar telling another beggar where to find bread.
It's true.
And we lovingly let them know we're all equal at the cross of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want you to be like me. I want you to come and feast on the bread of life. Isn't that a better message?
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that something that we can do?
It's true.
It neutralizes everything. Sometimes Christians can be thought of as self-righteous and proud. You know, prideful, and we want to war against that.
Yeah.
While letting people know, I want you to take this bread. I'm a beggar too, and I found the bread. But you must come. You must eat this bread.
Mm.
And it's free to all who will come. You don't have to earn it either. The great giver of life will feed you until you are full. Jesus says you will never be hungry again. You will live forever if you eat of this bread.
Yes,
so we give this with gentleness, with humility, with love, with wisdom. I know the holidays are coming up and there's a lot of wrong ways to do this. Okay, there's a lot of wrong ways to do it. We want wisdom along with directness, clarity, and confidence. Okay, so Paul just kind of shatters that. He says, let me tell you exactly why these people are telling you. You need to become a Jew. You need to get circumcised. You need to get under the Mosaic law. You need to do these things. They're doing it because they're cowards. They don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to be called names. They want all men to speak well of them.
Wow.
Paul continues, Galatians 6:13, for even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What Paul says here is this: nobody is keeping this law. That's kind of another one of the big E's on the I chart. Like, they might outwardly tell you they're doing all these things and they're a great, perfect son of Abraham and they have the right biology and they did all of the outward things. But Paul says, let me tell you something. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was a Jew of Jews. I did this better than anybody that has ever lived. And I didn't even do it.
Wow.
And they aren't doing it either.
Yeah.
Again, you're a tally on the score sheet. Well, I got them to become a son of Abraham. And Paul says earlier in this letter, you're not even a son of Abraham if you are not right with Jesus Christ.
True.
He wants them to know, because the temptation is this. Man, I mean, I don't want to miss out. I want to have a right relationship with God. I want to be spiritual. I want to be right. And Paul's saying they outwardly look like they have it all together, but inwardly they are off. He ran with these people. They desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. Paul says this, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that he says that, because what do we do in modern times? We boast in almost everything other than the cross of Christ. We might boast in the love of Christ. We might boast in other things. I want to tell you guys something. You cannot boast in the love of Christ if you do not know what this is all about. We've tried to circumvent the cross in modern times. God does love you, but that love comes with that, through that.
Yes.
Yep.
You cannot experience the love of God.
Yes.
These are those things that, if we didn't say, it would probably be easier for certain things. But that's the truth. If you don't understand that the love of God and the holiness of God came together at the cross, where God, he does love you radically. He loves you more than you can understand.
That's right. That's right.
He thinks about you. You are a treasure to God. You are an adopted child of God. We talked about that earlier in this letter.
Yes.
You are not just a saved soul that he's indifferent to, but he actually knows everything about you. He actually cares more about you than you do. He's actually fighting wars for you that you don't even know. We may never know on this side of eternity. Job had no idea what was going on. We have no reason to believe Job ever knew what was going on in the spirit realm. And that's radical love. And when you come to God through Christ, through the precious blood, where the peace of God comes from, you are loved more than you will ever, ever know. But you cannot experience the love of God if you do not understand the cross.
Yeah.
Paul says, see, here's the thing. I boast in the cross of Christ. Not in my flesh, not in my works. I have nothing to do with it. I am the one that needs to be saved. And when you boast in Christ, don't you kind of have that added? How do you boast in Christ? Think of John the Baptist, a mighty man of God, the greatest prophet of Scripture. Why? Because he laid eyes and hands on the Messiah.
Hallelujah.
Unlike Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, David, Abraham. These are mighty men. But John the Baptist saw who they were looking toward. He saw the embodiment
Hallelujah.
Of the seed of
Hallelujah.
Abraham.
Amen. Glory to God.
And John the Baptist boasted in Christ. He could have claimed to be the Messiah. They asked him if he was the Messiah. He says, I am not the Messiah. I'm not even worthy to untie the straps of his sandals. He must increase. I must decrease. He's boasting in Christ. And boasting in the cross of Christ is what Paul says, is what he's warring against, the false notion that we are saving ourselves. Many people come in the name of Christ and include that you must accompany the salvation. When you boast in Christ, you think like John the Baptist, he must increase. I have nothing to do with this. I'm the one that was saved. I'm the beggar by his grace, by his love. He showed me where to find this bread. And we persuade men and women, friends, to find this bread giver. It's not us.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I want you to boast in the cross of Christ. I think that's another way of saying we have a big, big view of God. We think of him. We boast in his cross that encompasses his holiness, his power, his providence, his love, his forgiveness, his righteousness.
Yes.
We boast in that because when we think of the cross of Christ, we see all of those things. We could not be saved. We could never go to heaven if our sins were not punished. Aren't you glad that you don't have to pay that punishment? We're boasting in the cross of Christ.
Praise the Lord.
We do boast and we make much of him. Do you see again when you think that your baptism saved you? Or your circumcision saves you? Or your moral life saves you?
Yes.
I haven't smoked in years. Good for you. Are you boasting in Christ?
Wow.
Well, I got baptized and haven't thought about Jesus ever since. I mean, we do those things. But we're to boast not in anything, but the cross of Christ. In modern times, and this cannot be a coincidence, and while there is no biblical mandate to have a cross up in your church, why wouldn't you?
Right.
If you could. I love that Ewok, his friend, best friend from college, hooked us up with this cross. And then we put the cloth over it, the robe there. I love that.
Sure.
It can't be a coincidence that we've removed the cross in so many instances in modern times, and we see the spiritual catastrophe that we find ourselves in modern times.
True. Yeah. True.
More important than not seeing that representation, but we don't talk about it in modern times. It's becoming rare to hear or read books or to hear sermons where we talk about that cross. Nothing else matters without the cross of Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. If you come to be entertained, go find real entertainment. Now, Robert's a good guitar player.
Yeah.
But I bet you if we asked him, he could play all kinds of songs that we might like even better than the worship songs. He probably knows all kinds of songs. He's got a cowboy hat on and a 1776 shirt on. This is a good old boy.
Yeah, I like it.
I mean, you can be really entertained, and you don't have to get up at 9 or 8. We let you sleep in a little bit here, but I mean, you can go be entertained somewhere else. But if I'm going to get you fired up, if I'm going to have you boasting, if I'm going to have you talking, if I'm going to have you fixated on something, let it be the cross of Christ. where our righteous God that will not allow sin to enter into his kingdom, who will not ignore sin under any circumstance, who will always, 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 always punish sin.
Yes.
Whether it's on that cross that we love or in a place called hell that you don't need to go to, every single sin will be accounted for by our perfect God.
Yes.
And the love of God said there's got to be a way to reconcile this. And Jesus says, I'll go.
Yes.
And I will take their sin. Yes. The eternal Son of God is the only one big enough. Not a human, not a person. We can't pay for our own sins. We've offended a holy God. But Jesus can take that sin. He's big enough. He is God. Yes. He can take the wrath of eternity on him for you and me. Boast in the cross of Christ.
Yes.
And I'll say it one last time, because I can tickle your ear with all kinds of nonsense. Doesn't this make you fixated on him?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't this make you love him?
Yes.
Doesn't this make you want to worship him and follow him and stay with him and tell others about him? Why would we talk about other things? I don't want you to live your best life. If this is your best life, something's really wrong. I want you to boast in Christ. I want to see that as the number one seller on Lifeway. Let's boast in the cross of Christ.
Hallelujah.
It's like number 55 or something. You know, you're gonna talk about yourself.
Right.
No, let's boast in the cross.
Yes.
I've lost my place.
Oh.
That's a dangerous thing. Let's continue. Paul says, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world.
Yeah.
When we are fixated on the cross, the things of this world grow strangely dim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is really where the battle is lost or won. Paul says, I'm dead to this world. Why? Because I boast in the cross of Christ. I have it ever before me. My sin is ever before me. And at that cross, my sin was dealt with. And I am crucified to this world. And the world is crucified to me in a manner of speaking. I'm not living for this world. I hope you're not living for this world. You're going to blink and we'll be gone. We want to live for what counts for eternity.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you something. Those that are in heaven today and all of us that will be there one of these days, what are they boasting in? Not their righteousness, not their good lives that they lived, not in the denomination that they subscribe to, not in anything they did. They are continuing to boast in the cross of Christ. Because when you are in heaven, when we are on the new earth one of these days,
hallelujah,
we will always know we are only there because of the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes, yes.
What are you living for? Your families need to be pointing people to Jesus.
Yeah.
Our personal lives, and it's okay to have hobbies. It's okay to have things that are not directly connected to spirituality, I guess you would say. But if you're living and boasting in Christ, they all connect to that, don't they?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Galatians 6:15. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. You see, circumcision was a modification. It had nothing to do with anything. It's an alteration physically. But that's not what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to improve our human lives. He came to make us a new creation.
Amen.
We start that in this time-space continuum. And one of these days, it might be 1,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now, 15 minutes from now, one of these days Jesus is going to come.
Amen.
And he's going to roll this all away.
Yes.
All of the pain,
yes,
all of the difficulties, all of the stress,
yes,
all of the battles, all of the temptations. He's going to roll it all away.
Yes.
And he's going to say, behold, I make all things new.
Yes.
And he is going to make us a new heavens and a new earth. It will be absolutely perfect. And you are a part of that.
Amen. Yes.
You are a new creature in Christ. Satan wants to just, and that's all he can do, he wants to tell you everything about your past and all the mistakes that you've made, how unloving you are, how unworthy you are. Again, we boast in that cross because we didn't do that because we were worth it. He did it because he loves us.
Yes.
He did it because he was going to make a way to save his people from their sins. And he's making you new. You are a new creature in Christ. When you follow Jesus, the Bible says you are a new creature.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
So the things that maybe you did in your past, if Satan tries to bring them up or you start thinking about those things, you just say, I am a new creature in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's making all things new, including me. And when we live in this life, you might live another 10 years, 30 years, 50 years. Again, another hour, we don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
As we follow Jesus, we become more and more like him. He's making us like him. Paul says circumcision means nothing. Yep. Baptism means nothing.
Yep.
Dietary laws mean nothing. Rule keeping means nothing. If I am not a new creature in Christ.
Right.
We have a Bible full of people that follow the rules outwardly. That honor the Sabbath outwardly. Now some people did it inwardly. But we've got all kinds of examples of people that did it as some kind of a show. And Paul says it means nothing if you are not a new creature in Christ. You're not what you will be. You may still struggle. Steve, how do I even know? If you care, that is a great sign that you are a new creature in Christ. Now Paul says in verse 16, as for all who walk by this rule, some of you are handy. Men and women are handier than me. So some of you men and women are handier than me. My tools are in a Joanne Fabrics little bag down in the basement that Lori gets out every once in a while. So this rule is kind of a measurement type of a thing that you want to think about. It is a perfect, like a carpenter's rule. All who walk by this rule, not law keeping, not circumcision, but being a new creature in Christ and boasting in Christ, as for all who walk by that rule, peace and mercy be upon them. You see, Paul pronounced some curses on people that are going to try to save themselves earlier in this letter. He told them they were bewitched. He told them that they were fools. That was a curse. But he's going to pronounce a blessing on people that will humble themselves before the cross of Christ in which we boast.
Yeah.
You want peace? You want peace from God, with God? That's what you really want, even if you don't know it. This other stuff, turmoil with family and circumstances and everything, these are Satan's futile attempts to hinder your nearness to God. What you need more than anything is to have peace with God.
Amen.
And that comes when you boast in the cross of Christ.
Yes.
And you're made a new creature.
Yeah.
You're a new creation.
Mm.
Mercy. Don't you want mercy?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you boast in that cross and you think about that cross that we ignore too often in modern times, you just know it's only mercy.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve to be up on that cross, and even that wouldn't satisfy the holy offense to a holy, eternal, infinite God. But we are granted mercy when we live by this rule of boasting in the cross of Christ. I think it's good to know that we need that.
Mm-hmm.
Peace and mercy upon them and upon the Israel of God. I love that he put that in there. It's one more last reminder that the Israel of God has nothing to do with biology.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I beat that dead horse with you guys because I've told you many times, there are people that come in the name of Christ that tell you, don't waste your time evangelizing the Jews. They have their own covenant with God. But Paul says, no, the true Israel are those that come and boast in the cross of Christ. Christianity is something that God does in us. It's not something that we do for him. We do things for God. It just has nothing to do with our salvation.
Right.
It is a reflection of the new creation that he has made us. Let's continue. Galatians 6:17. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. We talked about this a while ago, because these people saved Paul's life. Or at least, back in ancient times, when you got sick or needed, it was different than it is now. You didn't have the urgent care. You just, go. That can be very, very dangerous. And he says, you guys saved my life. I wouldn't talk like this to you. I feel indebted to you in a way. And that should show you that if I'm telling you these things, you need to listen. Now he says, don't trouble me anymore. I've been through enough. Paul's telling him, I've been through enough. I don't want to hear about these things coming from you guys again. That's what Paul's saying to these churches. If you don't understand that you cannot save yourself, you cannot become a Jew physically or biologically or ceremonially, you need to become a part of Israel spiritually. Paul says, I don't want to hear these things again. Don't trouble me with these things again. And again, you hear the fatherly love from him. I've told you guys, I'm sending you this letter. I'm setting the story straight. I bear the marks of Jesus myself. I have nothing to gain by telling you these things unless I saw him and I'm telling you what he wants you to know. Yes. None of those Judaizers saw him. None of them bear his marks like I do. There is no reason. If we only knew the life that Paul had before Jesus came to him, he had no reason. In fact, even skeptics, it's one of the most baffling things to the skeptic. They cannot figure out why would Paul do these things? Why would he change so radically?
Wow.
He had nothing to gain by lying to these people. Don't trouble me with these things. That's the heart of every pastor or every spiritual father in the faith. You want people to go back to the word. He has shown them through the word of God how much error they are in. Don't play around with these false doctrines. How do you know if it's a false doctrine? False doctrine points you to you.
Yep.
Prosperity gospel is false doctrine.
Yes.
It makes you think about you. The works-based salvation. You got to get baptized to go to heaven. It makes you think about you. Forget about false religions. I don't want to forget about them, but they're easy to detect. It's easy to know that. But it's no different in Islam. Do you know in Islam you can be the most faithful Muslim that's ever lived and still go to hell? And in Islam, you go do the pilgrimages. You don't eat these foods. You go and do these things. You pray five. You. Buddhism, which is in total contrast to the cross of Christ. You look inward. You do this. And all the false religions of the world, they're no different than fake Christianity. You do the work. You do these things. You keep yourself saved. False doctrine, Paul says, don't trouble me with that anymore. How do I know if I'm reading a good book? How do I know if I'm hearing a good sermon? How do I know? When you are fixated on yourself and not boasting in the cross of Christ, I would tell you, close that book or turn off that podcast. Let's end. Galatians 6:18. I love that we have a little competition back here. We're having fun.
Babies.
Our kids are learning this stuff. Galatians 6:18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers.
Amen.
So Paul gives them a fatherly challenge. I don't want to hear about this again. This is the hill that we'll die on. I doubt, by God's grace, it won't be on this watch, but 100 years from now, 50 years from now, when I can't do this anymore, or whenever it is, keep saying 50. That's not even close. Really? 20. I got 25 Stop. More years. Stop. Maybe. I don't know. 30, hopefully. I'm negotiating with God.
25.
I want to do this. I mean, you may have to wheel me up here, but that will be. Let me tell you something, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but my gut feeling is this. We're gonna pour our lives to get this church off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna take everything that we have to see this church continue to grow, grow in love for Him and for our community. And at some point, somebody is gonna be like, dude, I mean, we're gonna lose all of this if you don't stop. If you tell people Jesus is the only way, we're gonna lose all of this. If you tell people that homosexuality is a sin, we're going to lose all of this.
Yeah.
I love what Paul says, so don't trouble me with that. We'll close the doors before we compromise God's work. Amen. It would be better for us to just stop.
Yep.
But that'll be a real temptation. It's easy now. I mean, we love this. I hope you do. Most of you come back every week. We have a handful that are usually here that aren't here, but... You know, Paul ends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Paul ends this letter the way he began it. And those are the bookends. Without the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, nothing else matters. And even though he's had hard words for these people and challenges, and he's had great, theological battles that he is just shattering through the word of God, he is calling them, first of all, brothers. His heart is for them to be brothers. We don't know the hearts of men. Only Jesus does. But he's not like, now that you're on the other team. He loves these people, and he understands that just like he started the letter with the grace of God, he's going to bookend it with the grace of God. That is all that matters.
Yep.
And when we don't understand that there is only one gospel, that's been the series title, No Other Gospel. There is one gospel that we boast in, that cross of Christ. Every other gospel is in conflict with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to believe in one, no other gospel. That you and I are radical sinners. We are more sinful than we could probably even imagine. But our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, placed every sin that you have ever committed and that we have all ever committed, and in one manner of speaking, that the world has ever committed. And he put that in his hand. And God the Father drove his nail right through that hand. And if it wasn't for Jesus going to that cross and dealing with our sins, don't ever think that your sins were ignored. That's the grace. That's the unmerited favor. And what Paul would say as he sums this up is that do not tarnish that beautiful glory that Jesus has by thinking that you have done anything to aid him with that. A gift cannot be purchased.
Yeah.
And this is the gift of God that he has given us. We do not deserve it. And don't ever forget that. But you should worship him for eternity for what he has done.
Yes.
We didn't deserve it. We were given this grace that the Bible says is the great gift of God.
Praise the Lord.
I want you to know you cannot save yourself. Jesus is our Savior. Mm-hmm. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Brothers. So let's end with that. Let's boast in that cross. When you start sharing Jesus with people, and I hope that you do, what I hope you all are doing is this. I want you all to have a spiritual radar in your mind of people that you should be witnessing to. It makes it kind of easy in modern times because we've got social media, we have text messages, we've got phone calls, we can do it, and most importantly, I think, is in person. But there's ways we can share Jesus with people. And there are people that he has strategically put in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To be the lifeline, to be the mouthpiece. You can't save them, but God partners with us to see men and women and children come to Christ. And I want you to pray about that. If there's somebody that maybe you have in your life, share Jesus this week. And you know what? I know what Satan will tell you. Maybe he already has. Huh. You? You're telling me about Jesus? I know who you were. I know who you... They think they know who you are. And what do you say? Boast in the cross. Say, listen, I don't want you to be like me. I know I don't want you to be moral like me or act like I was saved. And I want you to just know about Jesus. I'm not going to boast in me. And maybe you already have victories in your life. Maybe you have some things you could share. You know, it's okay to share your testimony, but live there. It's okay to maybe tell them what Jesus has done in your life, but don't, that is not sharing the gospel. Boast in that cross. Yes. And I want you all to do that. That's what I want you all to do.